Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. Today we delve into the fascinating world of preserving musical legacies and celebrating the rich history of Southern shaped note hymnals. Whether you know what a shaped note is or isn't, you'll want to tune in as we have the pleasure of hosting members from the Harmonia Sacra Society. This is a dedicated nonprofit organization committed to upholding the remarkable legacy of Joseph Funk, a pivotal figure in American history. Music history, actually, as the renowned publisher of Harmonia Sacra Hymnal and a revered singing school instructor. They aim to honor Funk's influence on congregational singing, organize regular singings from the Harmonia Sacra, and conduct research into Funk's life and work, all while cherishing songs and his lasting impact on musical traditions. Today we are joined by Andrea Early, a devoted member of the society, alongside Sam, who introduced himself to me as Sam I Am, by the way, Sam Showalter, the executive director, and Jeremy Nafziger. He is the president. We'll hear about the enthralling history and legacy of Joseph Funk, shedding light on the significance of Harmonia Sacra songbooks and the printing heritage in Singer's Glen. And if you don't know what Singer's Glen is, you're gonna find out. We'll discover the Society's current endeavors, including monthly sings, future aspirations, and goals. And as a special treat for our laughers, we'll also feature a quartet performance, which you may have heard a little bit of so far, and allow you to immerse yourself in the captivating melodies of Harmonia Sacra. So without further ado, let's embark on this journey to explore the profound musical heritage preserved by the Harmonia Sacra Society. Welcome to the show, Andrea, Sam, and Jeremy. So great to have you all on today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It is really great to be here. We have been improvising today with our new video component. And these people I love already so much because they are helping me figure this out. And if, you know, the universe, you ask or ask God, he provides. And that is what he has done for us today far. So we're excited about that. I have lots of questions for you all today. This is incredible to me. I never knew what shaped notes were until I went to Rocktown History and did a tour in the museum, and they have a display of the shaped notes there. I found that very fascinating. I actually took time and stared at that for quite a while, and I did not know that I would meet you serendipitously not too long after that recording. And then I said, well, we got to have you on here so you can talk about what shape notes are. So I think that's where we should begin. I think we should begin. Some people know what this is, but I bet you there are plenty of laughers who have never heard of shape notes before. So can one of you provide us with an overview of what Harmonia Sacra Society is and its mission to preserve Joseph Funk's legacy?
Well, the Harmonia Sacra Society was formed to help with the preservation of the influence of Joseph Funk and his family on sacred music. Joseph Funk came to the Shenandoah Valley when he was about 8 years old with his parents and moved into a farm back next to Little North Mountain, west of Harrisonburg, and as far as we know, he's pretty much a self-educated man. There's really no clear record of his having attended formal schools of any kind, but he certainly did a lot of reading and studying in many fields, and he was a fairly frail gentleman, and so even though he grew up on a farm or owned a farm, he didn't do a lot of farming himself. He did more educational work, school teaching and music composing, and the state of music in churches in those days was pretty pathetic, according to some records that we have. And he felt that it was that the congregation, people in the churches really needed to learn more about music and singing and how to do it, and that the use of these, what some people called patent notes or shaped notes, musical notes that have a different shape at the bottom of each note, mm-hmm. for the do, re, mi's. Mm. And shapes have been used for musical notation for centuries. But the shapes that Joseph Funk used were similar to some that had been used before, but also somewhat different. Mm. And so he and later his sons, and he had 14 children, I believe.
Oh, my gosh.
But his younger sons...
Busy.
younger sons helped him with...
He was planting other things. Anyway.
And this all happened in a small house, we need to tell you about too, directly. Very small house. Oh, but anyhow, he used these shapes to help teach people how to read music and sing better.
Yeah. And that was around, well, his house was built in 1804. So he's in the latter part of the 18th century then. That's correct, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah, that was, he was in his 20s then. He was born during the Revolutionary War and died during the Civil War. That's how I sort of remember his lifespan.
Oh, wow.
And so he was a young adult when he built a log house there near a big spring. Okay. In a small, what became a small village that was known as Mountain Valley.
Okay.
But then later the name was changed by the Funk family, who were the postmasters and the school teachers and pretty much everything in town.
They owned the village, I'm
They owned
hearing.
The village, and they decided to call it Singer's Glen. So.
Oh, I'm so glad you added that part, because I was going to just ask, where does the Singer's Glen come in? So there's where the Singer's Glen comes in.
Yeah.
So Singer's Glen is a location, a city, a town. Principal.
It was, yeah. The name was changed somewhere between 1850 and the Civil War.
Okay. I think that's interesting that he would choose, or they would choose Singer's Glen. I wonder where the significance of the Glen comes from. Does anyone know?
A lot of people just shorten it now and call it the Glen. It's the, okay. The locals.
Really? Okay.
But anyhow.
Now you know how to fit in, laughers, if you go to Singer's Glen. Right. What's there to do in the Glen?
Sing.
Well, listen, we did not practice that, time that. That was completely unscripted. Completely.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Sam, or one of you, can you elaborate on the historical? So, Sam, you did that, really, the historical significance. But his contributions to American music, particularly in the Shenandoah Valley, can you expand on that part?
Yes. Like I say, singing and music was in pretty poor shape before mm-hmm. the Funks taught music, composed music, printed music, and their influence really increased over the period of time. The first hymn book was... printed in, well, in fact, Joseph Funk printed a hymn book in German, which the oh. Mennonites in the valley, or most people in the valley, were still speaking German.
Okay.
In 1816, a small hymn book in German in 1816. But then as the use of English became more accepted and more common, he decided to print a hymn book in English.
Okay.
And that was first called Genuine Church Music, was the title of that book.
Genuine Church Music. Okay.
So he printed Genuine Church Music in 1832.
Okay.
And there were many editions. The first edition of the hymn book in 1832 was actually printed in Winchester, Virginia, at a printing press there. And then the next two or three, the next two editions were printed here in Harrisonburg by the printer who was also printing the newspaper at that time.
Okay.
And by the time there was a fourth edition in 1847, Funk and his sons bought a printing press, part of it in from Richmond, I believe, and part from Lynchburg, Virginia, and they hauled these printing presses in with horse and wagon over the mountains.
Oh my gosh.
And set up a printing press in a small log building near the spring in Singer's Glen. Yeah. And in that log building, they printed probably at least 80 to 100,000 copies of hymn books.
Oh my gosh.
This was actually the first Mennonite publishing house in the New World at that time.
Yeah.
And I diverse, but the printing of the book and the teaching the music really helped to preserve and diversify music in the Shenandoah Valley.
Mm-hmm.
The first couple hymn books only had three parts, but then they later added a fourth part. And so four-part singing has been a prominent part of many churches in the valley since then.
That's incredible.
Also, it's a little bit of a complicated story, but there were two gentlemen who helped in the printing business who later moved further south and opened their own printing businesses.
Okay.
And we believe that the combination of the printing business here and the two printing businesses in the south were really the home of Southern gospel music.
Oh, really?
So we claim part of the history of Southern gospel music started right here in Singer's Glen. So
look at that. That's pretty amazing. And I was reading not too long ago that a 2 or 3 hour drive could be a few days or more, like a while to get somewhere.
Yeah.
A couple, 10 days maybe, something like that. If I had a team like Joe Rogan, I'd send one of my teammates right now to look good up in Google.
Right.
One day, laughers, one day. So, in the comments, if a laugher could look that up, and you could be our staff for right now and help everybody know how many days it would take to ride a horse. I am obviously not living in that era right now, or rode many horses. Anyway. You can help us out and be our volunteer staff and put that in the comments and let us know what's happening with that. But that's pretty incredible that they brought the first printing press in the area, really, to specifically generate sheets of music.
Yep.
That's quite amazing. Now, I know we're going to talk about this in a little bit, what you all plan to do with his original house that he lived in. But I want to ask, while I'm thinking about it, I don't want to forget, will there be a replica of this printing press in the museum you all plan to have in his house? And if not, may I request one?
You're not the first person that thought about that.
Oh, shoot. But do you think that's possible, Sam?
That would be great. That would be great.
Okay.
The little log building at the Springhouse was torn down in 1918, and they said that they threw the lead type, the type that had the musical notes, out into the garden. So we still need to find the garden and the music notes that are buried in Singer's Glen.
Oh, my gosh.
The lead.
The Glen. Buried treasure out there.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Now, Andrea, as a member of the society, we must talk to you.
Sure.
Yes. What initially drew you to the work of preserving Joseph Funk's musical heritage, and what role do you play in furthering the mission? Laughers want to know.
First and foremost, it was the music.
Yeah.
I love the singing. The harmonies are just absolutely beautiful. It doesn't need accompaniment. We usually sing a cappella.
It's beautiful,
and,
by the way. Yeah.
I got to know the community that comes out and sings Harmonia Sacra most months, I would say. And we're a really I don't know. It's just a really great group. All types of people come out to do this. And so it's great to have a mix of people. It is mostly Mennonite, but it isn't all Mennonite.
Okay.
And let's see. I lived in Singer's Glen for 15 years.
Okay.
And so I'm very familiar with the Joseph Funk House. And right. I love helping to preserve history. I work at a museum. I work at Rocktown History.
Yes.
And so it's fun to be a part of the work that Harmonia Sacra Society is doing. Mm-hmm. This legacy is one that needs to be preserved because it is so formative of congregational singing all through the valley and other places. I don't know. Let's see what else.
Those are all good.
Yeah.
Yes, and Laffers, we straightened it out in the rehearsal that it is indeed congregational singing versus what I said, which was congressional singing.
We do not sing to Congress.
We think we should.
Yeah, maybe we should.
They are raising funds, Congress.
If you arrange it, we'll do it.
Okay, there you go. That's it. That's it. Well, this is a great role to play. Mm-hmm. That you have. You can't have a singing group without the singers.
True.
You know? But another great role that we can all play is eating this absurdly flavorful popcorn.
So good.
From our sponsor, Pre-Popsteress. Mm. Let's pop. Pre-Popsteress. Mmm. I brought some for all of you. Mm. Have you ever tried it?
I have had it before. I love it.
Thoughts? And let's hand the mic to the fellows. What do they think about it?
It's good stuff.
I know, right?
We almost finished off a bag just before we started recording, so that's good.
I know. I have a big bag. I told them to keep their hands off. But seriously, it is so good. I love this popcorn. The kernels are grown right here in the Shenandoah Valley. It's Shenandoah Valley's only award-winning popcorn. And just recently, this is hot off the press, they got designated as Virginia's finest. Wow. With that trademark, they are able to help consumers trust that this is a top quality crafted food product here in the state of Virginia. Okay. So that's round of applause, everybody, at home and on camera, for Pre-Popsteress. We're so excited about this. And Pre-Popsteress makes a great gift for literally any occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas stockings, whatever you can think of. Mother's Day's coming up. There are options. I think dads like popcorn. I don't know. You can just let your creativity run wild. And Laffers, you get a 15% discount too. Just use promo code LAFF15 when you visit prepopsterous.com. That's PrePopsterous.com. And you can get you some today. All right, now, Sam, back to you. Could you highlight some key milestones and achievements of the society in the recent years?
Yes.
Post Civil War.
Well, the society actually has a lot to do with the house. That's really where it came from. And I'll tell you a little story about the house. In 2007, there was a fire in the kitchen in the new part of the house, which was 100 years old. The old part was 200 years old. The new part was an add-on on the back where the kitchen was, and they had a chimney fire there in the kitchen. Fortunately, the Singer's Glen Fire Department is about two blocks away, and they were able to save the structure, fortunately, although there was a good bit of damage to the back part. So that was 2007. In 2009, I was working every day back in Bergton, and living in Harrisonburg, so I would drive through Singer's Glen every day to work. And one evening, on my way home from work, I saw this big handmade for sale sign in the front yard of the Funk House, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing because the Funk House was owned by direct descendants of the Funks. And So I looked in my rearview mirror and saw a car turning in back at the funk house, and I whipped around and went back, and it was the son of the owners was there to show it to their first possible buyers. And I said, you know, this house is just full of history. Can it be preserved some way? And he said, well, we did offer it to another organization, historical organization, and they didn't feel ready to make a purchase. And so we just decided to put it on the market. And I said, well, is there any way you could give me a couple weeks to put together a group of friends to make a purchase in order to preserve this old structure?
Wow.
And he said, well, you're the first one here, so yes, we can do that.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I was able to get a group of 10 different couples or friends, and we put together the funds for the down payment on the house. And we decided to rent it out. I wasn't real sure about the tax implications of a nonprofit organization renting. And so one day on the trip to the garbage can outside, it sort of hit me. Well, why don't you form another organization to help preserve the house that's different than the LLC group that we put together to buy the house.
Oh, okay. All right.
And so we had the Joseph Funk House LLC, were the owners of the house.
Okay.
But our goal was to eventually raise enough money to do something else, like a museum or something. And so I decided to try to form a nonprofit organization to help with the preservation. And that's the birth of Harmonious Sacred Society. So we had a board, an initial board of about 10 people that started meeting, I think, in 2012, perhaps, and have gotten together once or twice or three times a year to talk about the house and how we're coming and how we can raise funds and so on. And so that's been the origin of the Harmonious Sacred Society. And
that's amazing.
A lot of friends have helped since then.
I would say you could also introduce yourself as Sam, I am the mover and shaker.
I'm the starter.
Yes, you are.
I'll be the starter mover.
That is really incredible. And now for the long-term goals, Jeremy, what are those and the aspirations of the Harmonious Sacred Society, especially regarding the preservation of this house of Joseph's?
Well, the house, we're trying to raise sort of like an endowment that would, when the house is transferred to the society, would be able to provide for the upkeep, you know, the basic upkeep, not necessarily big renovation projects, but just so it's solidly taken care of. For example, mm-hmm. we had to replace a water line this fall, and for that there was water in the basement. We had to replace something else. So things like that, just, you know, keep it stable.
They happen.
So our
old house,
most of our fundraising now goes towards that endowment that would be just preservation, you know, just beyond that, when we meet that goal, we'll start looking into what it would take to turn it into a museum of some kind, what would be in it. We have lots of people. I think we have lots of stuff we could already put in a museum.
I bet. Yeah.
Just need to make sure it would be safe there and
right,
easily viewable and not fall apart and things like that.
Right. Museums have to have, heating and cooling.
But really, yeah. the whole village of Singer's Glen is something of a museum. There's a lot of houses of the same era and a lot of funk different members of the funk family and descendants and friends all along the main street and a couple back streets that, you know, it's a kind of a living history place already, so that would fit in well. A lot of our year-to-year work involves just promoting the sings that are held at least every month, sometimes more than once a month, at a bunch of different locations around the valley. The next one would be, depending on when this comes out, would be at
yeah, the big question.
Trissel's Mennonite Church on the first Sunday of May. Most of these are scheduled like the first Sunday of May,
yes,
or June or whatever. So they're the same every year. You should know where you're going. We added a couple new ones this year, so that's good. At least three new ones, right? Yeah. And there was a time when there, you know, 20 years ago, there wasn't one every month, and now I think there is, so I think that's a good sign. And they're mostly held at churches, and some of them are like the New Year's Day saying at Weaver's Mennonite Church. It's been going on since 1902.
Oh my gosh.
It used to be an all-day thing where they come, it's always on New Year's Day, sing in the morning,
yeah,
for a couple hours. Everyone brings food and they have lunch and they sing all afternoon.
Wow.
Now it's just in the evening, but that's probably the largest one.
Yeah,
still
120 years or whatever.
Yeah. We missed it for flu outbreaks a couple times, and we missed
COVID,
two
maybe,
for COVID too.
Yeah.
So, but other than that,
yes. That's pretty incredible. And if people, laughers, if you want to see where these sings are, you can go to their website, because I noticed that you had them listed.
We do.
Yeah.
HarmoniousAcroSociety.org.
Right. Yeah. And it says annual sings is the tab or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you don't have to remember if you're driving or working out, you know, you can head to their website to find all the sings.
Yep.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. Andrea, how does the Harmonia Sacred Society engage in the community to raise awareness other than this podcast right now?
Well,
yes,
we are excited to be on this podcast.
Yay.
We've never done this before. We're usually kind of quiet and slowly raising money. But another big project that we do, and we pair up with the Singers Glen Raritan group, we help put on the Singers Glen Heritage Festival. And this happens every 5 years.
Okay.
And we put on a musical play called the Singers Glen Opera. And it is a somewhat fictionalized story of Joseph Funk and his sons and their printing business.
Okay.
There's a lot of
fun
singing. There is a singing school a couple of times,
yeah,
in it. There's a little bit of drama. And yeah, it's set in the 1840s.
Okay.
And so it just sort of, it shows the beginnings, mm-hmm, of how, yeah, like what Joseph Funk was doing with his music and his hymnals and printing. And so anyway, that has been a wonderful outreach to the community. We get a lot of people in attendance for that. And yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Okay. And then in preserving the shape notes, what do we need to know about that? What goes into preservation of these shape notes?
I think
notes?
Just using them.
Oh,
so I grew
how
up
simple,
singing.
Right? Okay.
I mean, I have sung my whole life, but I never really learned shape notes because I just learned how to read music on the staff. But last semester, I actually took a class at EMU. And
they have classes in this.
Well, I had to sort of create it.
Okay. Independent study.
Sort of like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So a ministry position.
Yeah.
And I selected Harmonia Sacred Society for my ministry internship. And in that, part of my goal was to teach shape note singing schools as an exercise. And I thought, well, I better learn them then.
Can't teach what you don't know.
Yeah. I found that it helped me sing. It was amazing.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, so each shape corresponds with a syllable, just do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do.
Yeah.
And so if you've ever seen Sound of Music, I'm sure most people have, Julie Andrews is teaching the kids how to sing.
That's
and
right.
They're using the do, re, mi's. Well, this is like that, except that you have a shape to correspond with it. And so do is a triangle and re is a shield shape. and anyway, yeah. and so on. So when That's you're cool. just looking at it, it's a lot easier to know what pitch you need to sing. What position of the scale that you need to be singing. And so yeah. it makes it easier. So I actually wow. would, I mean, yeah, I learned quite a bit when I was practicing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a fascinating concept to me, that they would use shapes to basically yeah. make sheet music.
Yes. I mean, yeah. most people back in his day concept. Did not know, they didn't know how to read music. I mean, taking music lessons was sort of a luxury. And they didn't necessarily teach how to read music in schools.
Yeah.
And so this was a way for kids to learn. And I think most of Joseph Funk's students were teenagers,
that's amazing.
Up into maybe early 20s.
We'll have to, yeah.
Yeah.
Have to get a shot of this, too. This is amazing.
Actually, back in that day, there weren't a lot of entertaining happenings.
Yeah.
And so singing school was one of the more exciting things for kids, teenagers to do. They would have singing schools. Yeah. And get together. And occasionally the music was bouncy enough that you could even dance to it. And if the bishop didn't find out about it. So singing schools
dancing.
Were a good social happening.
Dancing yeah. is a no-no for yeah. Mennonites.
Oh.
What was that?
Dancing is a no-no for Mennonites, traditionally.
Oh. Scandalous. It's too scandalous. Yeah. There are lots more scandalous things happening now.
Could I tell a Mennonite joke?
Yes. This is Virginia's for Laughers. I need to hear it.
Mennonites don't make love standing up for fear it might lead to dancing.
To put a rating on this show. PG-13.
Yes, PG-13, that is our brand. Cleanish. So you are safe, Sam. I am. This was also a Laughers, a very much another unscripted moment. So we're having a few of those today. But we want to share with you a visual and a audio version. If you're just listening to the audio, it's just going to be audio for you. But on our YouTube channel, you can see and listen to the Harmonia Sacra Society. We are going to share some of the work here in a few moments. But before we do, I was wondering, Jeremy, you could tell the story behind the song that the Laughers are going to hear.
There's one tune in this book called Protection. Each of the tunes has a name. In addition to a text, we usually refer to them by the tune name. This is Protection. The text is How Firm a Foundation. I think most people will probably be familiar with it in church singing. Anyway, the Harmonia Sacra is the hymnal where that tune and that text were first combined. The tune's been elsewhere and the text has been elsewhere, but this is the place they were first put together. And the hymn in that form went all over the North and South before the Civil War and was played at some notable funerals like Robert E. Lee and Woodrow Wilson and some non-segregationists I could think of. I can't remember offhand.
That's
both
all right.
North and South.
Our but volunteer staff will look that up and put it in the comments for us, right?
But you're like in the Spanish-American War. Both soldiers from the North and South both knew the hymn and could sing it. So it's the combination started in this book here.
That's really great. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful song. So we're going to listen to that song right now.
How firm a foundation ye saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, who unto the Savior for refuge have fled? Fear not, I am
Wasn't that amazing? And you know what? Yes, we had four people you may have noticed in that video, and you're wondering, where is that fourth person? Well, she is not here with us at the moment, but her name is Aretha Bear, and she is magnificent. Wouldn't you say? Would you have a nice word that you wanted to share about Aretha? Anyone?
She's great. She comes, sings a lot. She sings very well.
She does. She was doing the higher notes. I was noticing. I was like, whoa, that's gorgeous. Yeah. So how long do you guys take, how long do you guys practice for when you meet up to practice?
It's not, there's not practice.
Okay. If you're looking for a group that doesn't practice.
It's not, all right, it's the, let me, can I describe a sing for you?
Yes, that would be amazing.
It's not a group and we don't practice. What would usually happen at a sing is someone would be in charge, sort of, and the degree to which they're not in charge is indicated by their title, which is moderator.
I got it.
So that person might start with a few songs, just walk up front, pick a number, sing it, lead it, and then call on someone else to come up and pick and lead a hymn. It just goes on for an hour and a half, a couple hours, and you don't know who will be there each time. Sometimes there's a group of people that comes to almost all of them, and then there's people who are local to the wherever it's being held, and sometimes there's people from all over the place, and sometimes there's 50 people. Sometimes there's 350 people like at Weaver. So,
wow. Okay.
The people that are there sing the songs that the people call.
Okay. I like the aspect of a free-for-all almost. Yeah, a little bit. You know, if you want to sing, you can come sing.
Yeah. Yes. It's not quite a jam session, but, you know, it's sort of that idea.
That idea, yeah. I think Sam wants to share.
It's a pickup game, pickup game.
Yeah.
Most people are familiar with shape note singing, whether they know it or not, in some of the movies. The Civil War movie, Cold Mountain. Mountain had some shape note singing in there. And in fact, shape note singing is becoming more and more popular all over the country, all over the world, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But traditionally, in the singings from shape note books, and there are other shape note books as well. This is one of the earlier ones, but there have been others since. Most of those singings are done in what they call the square, where the different four different parts set in four different sections of the church or the building. And the leader is in the center. And they usually sing the do-re-mi's first before they sing the words to a hymn. And their singing is usually fairly boisterous or vigorous.
Yes.
And our singings are here in the Valley are really quite different than most other shape note singings. In fact, we had a recording engineer from Chattanooga who came and recorded one of the singings, the one that we ought to tell you about later, but over in Page County near Luray is an old building, an old log church. And he recorded one of our singings there, and he emailed me the next week and said, I've recorded shape note singings from 12 different books in many different places throughout the southern U.S., but I've never heard anything so beautiful as I heard last Sunday. I just sat there and listened to my raw recording, and I cried for a while.
Oh, so I love that so much. I have goosebumps right now.
I think we have something pretty unique here in the Valley when it comes to shape note singing.
Oh, I love that. Well, Jeremy, what is this impact of the Harmonia Sacra Society and their singings on the local community and maybe a broader appreciation, too, of the traditional hymnals?
Well, there's Mennonites. A lot of Mennonite churches still sing four-part harmony unaccompanied on Sunday mornings. And that's the direct line from Joseph Funk. That's why Mennonites sing in four parts, because Joseph Funk started this hymnal in 1832. You know, and other people helped along the way, but that's one living impact. there were a lot of books printed even in the Shenandoah Valley before the Civil War. I think there were something like a dozen hymnals and 30 different editions just here in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that survived and continued after the Civil War was the Harmonia Sacra out of all those. There's reasons for that. I mean, the reason are that people liked it and they sang out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it kept going, you know, with singing schools taught by Joseph Funk and then members of his family up till, you know, the late 1800s, when gospel music started to come in and the shape notes stuff sort of went away until the Weavers sings started with, yeah. They used to call those old folk sings because there were some older people who one day remembered, yeah, remember we used to have those singing schools, but maybe we should try that again. So they started this sing, annual sing at Weavers. And before that, there'd been about a 30, 40 year space where there had been no new editions of the Harmonia Sacra printed because there was no demand. But after the sing started again, more, they had to print more editions because people wanted to sing out of it. And now we're on the 27th something edition.
Mm.
So it's been going on a while, and there's could be any number of reasons for that. But the fact is, it's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
We should probably keep it going on for a while.
I think so. Are there any known descendants that are a part of the Harmonio Sacra Society? Are any one of you a descendant?
Not quite.
Yeah. No, I'm not. But I remember the first year that they did the opera at Singer's Glen, which was 1977, at the intermission, they said, anyone here who's a descendant of Joseph Funk, stand up. And it was a big, big tent. It was a big place. Half the place stood up. It's no joke. I've had people.
The village was big. It turns out 14 children can do a little damage.
Yeah. Well, I've had people that have no, you know, don't have any interest in music at all, but if they hear Joseph Funk mentioned or something, they'll be like, oh yeah, he's my
great,
so it's
great.
A big deal. Yeah.
And we have a few board members who are descendants.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I'm descended of Joseph Funk's uncle, so I'm not direct, but I'm adjacent.
Adjacent.
Yes.
Adjacent's good.
I'll take it.
Well, I'm glad you have the mic because I have a question for you. Okay. I was like, oh, who's next? It's Andrea. Can you share any memorable experiences or stories since your involvement with the Harmonia Sacra Society? Oh. I know, the popcorn, right? I'm still back at it, too.
Oh, let's see. There was one year that I decided to go to every single sing.
Oh, wow.
And it was
all
wonderful.
12 months.
All 12, yes. And I think that was in 2017, maybe. Anyway.
Mm. She's been a part of this a while.
Well, yeah. I think the first one I went to, well, I don't know. I was probably a teenager.
Mm.
So that's been 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
From the looks of you, only 4.
But that experience was really formational, I think, for me. That's when I really got to know the community of singers.
Okay.
And I got to know the music more. I think I've said before, I have been singing my whole life, but the harmonies in Harmonia Sacra are a little different than what you get in a more modern hymnal.
Okay.
And
yeah.
So you sort of have to train your ear to hear that. You kind of have to be on your game to sing these, because there's maybe unexpected dissonances or, maybe some harmony lines that are not quite what you're used to singing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, the range is, up there.
Like Aretha's?
Yes.
Aretha's voice went up there.
Yes.
So that's very well, I meant that.
Yes, absolutely. And there are a lot of minor songs rather than just major. I'd say half or so are minor. And so we try to cycle through those, especially Jeremy and I. Mm-hmm. We definitely try to bring in some of the more obscure tunes.
Are you guys the troublemakers?
Yes, we are.
The troublemakers are on the podcast. Yeah.
But
I love
even
it.
After all those years, there are still some tunes in there that I don't know yet. Mm. And to me, that's exciting. I like that there's still more to learn.
Oh. That's such a great answer, wasn't it, laughers? We give her more popcorn.
I'll take it.
Sam, what are some of the challenges that you faced in the society and its mission to preserve Joseph Funk's legacy?
Well, I think back to the house again. We've had...
I can see that.
The house is, 100 feet from the spring.
Okay.
The spring in Singer's Glen is as... never, knock on wood, gone dry, even in the driest seasons. The spring is the water supply for our house.
Okay.
So the house is sitting pretty close to the spring, and there are some ledges. The basement to the house is unfinished. It's a dirt floor and rock ledges.
Which is very common
in wet weather. The water just seeps in through those rock ledges and also runs in from the front of the house. And so with just one sump pump, we had 3 feet of water in the basement at one point. The local fire department came and pumped it out for us, fortunately. Bless their hearts.
Thank you.
But now we have two sump pumps. And
okay.
So far, we can keep ahead of the water flow. But... thinking of the house as a museum with that kind of humidity problems is going to be a challenge.
I would imagine, yeah.
So we'll have to have consultant help and ideas as to how we can preserve the many heirlooms we have. And we've talked about the book. This one is the 27th edition. But all 27 editions are somewhat different from each other. In many unique ways. And our society has now collected a copy of each of the 27 editions, except for, I think, 3 editions now that we don't have yet. So we're looking for old editions.
All right. Laughers, if you have one.
The 6th and 7th and 9th editions of Harmonia Sacra.
I was going to ask. Thank you for putting that out there.
We would love to have a copy. I think the historical library at EMU does have a copy of all of them. So fortunately, there are still available. But it's a very interesting study to see how these editions differ.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping someday to make a display or have some of that information more readily available.
That would be great. So where are all of the ones that you have now stored? Are they at Sam I Am, the Mover and Shaker's house?
How did you know?
Laughers, I cannot begin to describe to you how many unscripted moments we've had. That was another one. Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding, ding. The oldest ones, which we've paid as much as $800 for.
Oh, my goodness.
Are in a fire safe.
Good plan.
The newer ones are in my house.
Okay. We will not be giving out his address today.
Exactly.
That's good.
In fact, they're in my office, and you won't be able to find them if you break in.
I can attest to that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Jeremy, looking ahead, what excites you the most about the future of Harmonia Sacra Society, or Sacra Society? My apologies.
I look forward to singing more. That's the most exciting. Run-of-the-mill a little bit. I'm looking forward to the April 17th Great Community Give, which is where the society does most of its fundraising in any given year. It's a big day for Harrisonburg, Rockingham County.
Yes.
Where many, many organizations raise money through a platform with the Community Foundation, and that's where we... try to make most of our fundraising appeals. So watch your emails for that April 17 this year and every year.
Yeah. The Community Foundation, just for laughers who are getting familiar with our podcast and our, you know, the Shenandoah Valley, our community, all of that. The Community Foundation is a hub resource for the nonprofits in our area. And then one day a year, there's even an earlier podcast about this, the annual Great Community Give, where it's a designated day that people all over the world can, if they want to, because they may have moved away from the area or have some other reason they want to give, can give to a nonprofit of their choice of the many that we have in this area on that day.
Right.
So now if they miss this day,
if they miss
and
that
they
day.
Listen to this podcast after the day that only comes once a year, how can they give money to you?
There is a link on our website,
okay,
which once again is harmoniasacrasociety.org. There's a link there. It will actually take you to the Community Foundation because they're the people that manage our endowment funds that we're raising anyway. So That's how you can do it anytime, day or night.
Yeah. In your sleep.
Week. Yeah. Preferably
twice
in your
on
sleep.
Sunday.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, automatic payment. That was a great idea, Andrea. Just she didn't have the mic, so we were just putting that out there so everyone could hear it. You know, that's really good. Yeah, that's exciting. All right. Well, lastly, as we wrap up here, then, what is the best way for the laughers to stay updated with the Harmonia Sacred Society? Sacred Society, my bad again. On social media or otherwise.
Again, the website is harmoniasacrasociety.org. We have the list of all the singings there, annual singings. We're hoping to put up more research-type articles soon, pictures, articles, links, that kind of thing. And there's that site. We have two Facebook groups. One is called Harmonia Sacra Singers, and the other is called Harmonia Sacra Society. You can join those groups. And there's a Twitter feed, Harmonia Sacra Society.
Wow.
And there is an email list that we send updates and reminders about all the singings before they happen in case you need to remember where you're supposed to be that month.
I know I need that kind of help myself.
Yeah, Harmonia Sacra Society at gmail.com is the
there we go,
the email.
Perfect. Yeah,
you can email that and get added to the list.
Oh, added to the list so you don't miss a sing. That's a good thing. And laughers, will be sure to put that information for you in the show notes as well. So if you're driving or working out, you don't have to worry about figuring that all out or remembering it right now. You can just head to the show notes and click on the link and donate there and get on the list and find out what's happening with Harmonia Sacra Society. Thank you so much, Andrea, Sam, and Jeremy. This has been super fun and super delightful to chat with you about all things Harmonia Sacra Society. And to listen a little bit too. What a blessing. I appreciate all your time and talents and efforts to preserve this music history in Joseph Funk's house. So thanks again for coming on the show and sharing that with us.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Loved having you. All right. Well, laughers, to learn more about the Harmonia Sacra Society, you just head over to their website at harmoniasacrasociety.org. That's HARMONIASACRA society.org today. Also, don't forget that discount on Preposterous using promo code LAUGH15 when you visit preposterous.com. That way you can munch on it when you join me on next week's episode. Just like these guys and gals. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for a another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.